Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue our examination of the history of heresy by looking again at the fourth verse of Jude. So let's read that verse 4 again together. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're continuing to examine just who these certain persons were that Jude speaks about here in verse 4 by studying the seven major root heresies that have attacked biblical Christianity since the church was established over 2,000 years ago. And those seven heresy groups are, number 1, the Judaizers, number 2, the Antinomians, number 3, the Gnostics, number 4, the Modalists, number 5, the Arians, number 6, the Pelagians, and number 7, the Socinians. Now, in the last broadcast, I was teaching you that although there had been many attempts over the last 2,000 years to destroy Christianity from both within and without, it was those attacks from within the church that hurt the most and that were the most insidious. Those inside attacks had to do with those heretics and apostates and false teachers who crept into the church to teach and preach false doctrine, or who came into the church for the express purpose of deceiving the sheep and leading them astray. Notice here in verse 4 that Jude says that these heretics will attack biblical Christianity on three fronts. Jude says very clearly that these false teachers will warp the true biblical teaching on, number 1, the grace of God, number 2, the character and nature of God the Father, and number 3, the person of Jesus Christ. Now, as I've taught you on earlier broadcasts, since it is true that Christianity was established by the infallible and inerrant and inspired words that Paul and John and Peter and the other apostles penned down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then what those words say and what those words mean by what they say is very important. We must remember, brothers and sisters, that any alteration of the inspired words of Scripture in any way, any alteration of the meaning of those inspired words of Scriptures, alters and changes what Christianity is. And thus the apostles viewed any attempt at adding to or taking away from the words of Scripture to be an attack against the church and an attack against God Himself. So when these certain men that Jude describes here in verse 4 begin to infiltrate the church like spiritual terrorists, the apostles saw the great need of exposing their lies and of correcting their false teaching. Case in point are the first two major heresies that attack the church, the Judaizers and the Antinomians. Both of these false teachings attacked the grace of God during the days when the apostles were still alive. Both of these groups did just what Jude says here in verse 4. They tried to change what grace is and what grace means and how grace operates and what part grace plays in the saving of the human soul. The Judaizers, or better known by the term legalists, denied that grace was sufficient to save fallen man, and so they taught that their own man-made version of the gospel, which said that human works and human cooperation was needed in order for a lost sinner to be saved. The effort by the Judaizers was not an honest difference of opinion from well-meaning people. No, this was a hostile attack against what God, the Holy Spirit, had revealed to the apostles about what role God's grace plays in the saving of the human soul. So I would suggest to you that's pretty serious stuff. The false teaching of the Judaizers or the legalists had the effect of ignoring the the magnificence and the importance of God's grace, and it promoted man and human works as being the real catalyst that converted the human soul. Now, way before the Judaizers ever rose up to teach their heresy, God had already revealed that God sovereignly saves lost souls by grace alone, through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ alone, absent any human works at all, over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So let's read that passage together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So from this verse we can see that the teachings of the Judaizers represented a real and serious threat to biblical Christianity, which is why the apostles fought so hard against them. Now, along with the false teaching of the Judaizers, another gang rose up in the first century, which also attacked the grace of God. These heretics, who had also crept into the church, taught that grace was a license to sin with impunity. And these people were called antinomians, or the lawless ones. And so on the last broadcast, we were talking about how all of the apostles refuted the heresy of the antinomians with the word of God. Paul, especially, was brutal against this heresy, which taught that God gave license, that grace gave us license to sin after salvation. In what is called today the greatest letter ever written, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans around the middle of the first century to give the Christian church the correct understanding of just how God converts the human soul. Almost everything that God revealed to man about salvation is found in the book of Romans. And Paul wrote chapter 6 of Romans specifically to rebuke and correct the heresy of the antinomians. Paul taught that because being saved was so much more than simply joining the church, but that salvation was in fact having our old rebellious, corrupt human nature miraculously and supernaturally regenerate into a godly and divine nature. And he taught that after we are saved, that there were tangible and measurable changes in both our behavior and our desires. Paul and all the other apostles taught that because being saved was literally being born all over again, the saved person no longer had the will or the desire or the inclination to continue living in unrepentant sin. That although he will occasionally stumble, the saved soul has lost his ability to remain in that sin, and he will quickly be convicted. He will quickly repent, and he will quickly confess his wrong, and then he will quickly run to Jesus because the new divine nature, the seed of Christ that now abides within him, cannot bear to be at odds with God. He cannot bear to sin against God. Paul used a curious phrase to describe the saved man. Paul said that the saved person was now dead to sin. It is as though he has literally died to his old way of life. And with that death to sin came an opposite and equal ability and power and desire to live for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now look at Romans 6 verse 4 for example. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And then just two verses down in Romans 6, verse 6, the apostle goes on to say, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. And in the next verse, Romans 6, 7, he said, for he who has died is free from sin. Paul continued his assault against the heresy of those who would abuse grace by saying that we should reckon or that we should consider ourselves to actually be unable to sin anymore because we're now dead to sin. Look at what he said in Romans 6 verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then Paul gives us an apostolic command to not allow sin to rule in us in Romans 6 verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And then comes the blockbuster. Then comes the part that the modern antinomians just hate. Then comes the part that really chafes those who are members of the church, yet who have never been born again. Paul now teaches that since we are saved, we cannot and we will not live unto ourselves. We cannot and we will not do as we please. We cannot and we will not do what is right in our own eyes. But we are commanded to conform. We are commanded to be molded and shaped and formed into the very image and likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are told to submit, to yield, to surrender, to give up, to die to ourselves, to crucify the flesh, to kill the deeds of our bodies, to bow our knees to the authority of Scripture. Look just what the Apostle wrote in Romans 6:13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. No wonder the antinomians just hated Paul. No wonder that the modern abusers of grace in the church today hate any preaching or any teaching that would put confines on their sinful flesh. These people don't want anybody telling them how to live, not even God. And the reason that they are like this is because they are not saved. They have not been born from above. They do not have the new nature. They have not been regenerated. They don't have the seed of Christ living inside of them. They don't crave the presence of God. They do not hunger and thirst after righteousness because they have not been reborn. They don't love the things of God because they're still lost. They are still dead in trespasses and sins. They can't stand. They can't bear up underneath sound doctrine. You couldn't pay them to seek after God's face for extended periods of time. They have no desire at all to study their Bibles. They would much rather fellowship with their lost, sinful friends in the world than they would the saints who are in the church. Paul said that it matters how Christians live after they are saved. It matters how they talk. It matters where they go and what they do. Antinomians taught that saved people have a license to sin. But the Apostle Paul said that people who dwell continuously in sin are not saved. But he wasn't the only one. Look at what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having what? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Beloved, the antinomians have crept into our churches today, and they have brought in this very same ancient heresy which excuses sin and which promotes a very low view of God and a low view of the Bible and a very high view of man. These heretics make silly statements about the seriousness of sin, like, well, nobody's perfect, and, well, boys will be boys. And they presume upon the grace of God, and they teach that God doesn't mind if you sin a little here and there. Don't worry about it. God loves you anyway, and he doesn't care whether you serve him or not. It's all okay. He'll forgive you anyway. Go ahead. Live life to the fullest. Go do whatever is in your heart to do. God will always be there for you when you get weary of your sin. Beloved, antinomian teachings like this only promote arrogance toward God. Teachings like this remove the fear of God from our hearts, and that is why we must be bold to cry out against them, and why we must contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all handed down to the saints. Well, I'm out of time for today, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.